Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to pick up where we left off last time in our study of the life of Moses, and not doing a very in-depth overview of his life, but you know, he's one of the few characters in the Bible that has his life recorded from birth to death. I think of Samuel, we have that. We have the Lord Jesus recorded from birth to death. John the Baptist is one that's recorded. But just a handful in the Bible that take us from the beginning of their life all the way through to the end of their life. And Moses is one of those men that stands out in meekness and faith. And he is a commanding figure in the Old Testament scriptures for his character, for his faith, in the unique position that was assigned him as the mediator of the Old Covenant and its achievements. And all of God's early dealings with the nation of Israel were transacted through what Bible character? Moses. His interactions with his people was through Moses. Moses was a mediator in many ways between God and Israel. He was a prophet, a priest, a leader in one person, and so united all the great and important functions, which later were distributed among a plurality of people that ruled over Israel. But Moses was a very gifted man, although he spoke of himself as not being a good speaker, yet he spoke a lot. And he was able to speak face to face with God, we're told. That has not happened to very many people in the scriptures, and so he stands there. And then I want to get into just a quick overview of what we looked at last week in Exodus chapters 2 and 3, where we have a quick synopsis of his life. He was born in slavery. He was adopted by a queen. You might think that's a wonderful thing. He's adopted by a queen, but Egypt was one of the most pagan of all the cultures of that time. And Moses was able to navigate through all the paganism that was in that culture and come out on the right side. It's possible, but it takes the grace of God. It takes the working of God to do that. His growth into adulthood is recorded. He killed an Egyptian. He fled into the wilderness to escape. He married Zipporah while he was there. And it was at that time that he came to meet the Lord Jesus at the burning bush. That's recorded in Exodus chapter 3. And what an amazing event in Moses' life where God called him to take the children of Israel out of the land. And the Lord called him at that time, and he was uniquely prepared for that because of his upbringing in the palace. He was familiar with all the mechanisms within the government, how things worked. And he also had an inroad into the palace to talk to Pharaoh. That's an important thing. God worked out all these details, folks, in a human being. Now, that's a blessing to me. That's an encouragement to me. That God can work even before you're born to uniquely prepare you for tasks that He has for you. But you need to be submitted to that. And Moses showed his submission at the burning bush. He fell to his knees. And there God called him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. You talk about a daunting call. You talk about something where inadequacies would immediately be shown. And yet it wasn't Moses that was going to deliver the people. It was God through Moses. Don't ever forget that. We are inadequate. But God is not. And He can empower us to do things in our lives that we could never do on our own. We can be that witness. We can be that testimony. We can be the one because we have the Lord Jesus Christ within us. And so when we start spouting off all kinds of excuses about why we can't do this or why we can't do that, stop. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a principle. That is something that's laid out in the Scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No matter what it is I'm called to do, maybe it's suffering. Maybe it's like Ciara When I saw the videos, and my heart, I was tearing up just watching the scene. Here's this mother, young mother, 26 years old, having lost her limbs, her ability to walk and to grab her children up and to hold them. That's gone. And yet, in all that suffering and all that anguish and change of life since Christmas, she can do all things through Christ. The limitations many times is our own thinking, our own heart about things, that we put all these artificial caps on what we can do. I can't do that, so I'm not going to volunteer to do that. Well, wait a minute. Maybe you can do that by God's grace. Now, certainly, you know, there are limitations that we have. But Moses was taken out of slavery and called to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land. Did he get to go in personally? No, he didn't. Did the children of Israel make it into the promised land? A hearty yes. And who did that? God did. God did it over two personalities, Moses and Joshua. He also used Caleb as an inspirational character that's in the scriptures, that at 85 years of age says, "Give me this mountain. I'll go up. By the power of God, I'll go up and take it." And he did. You can do all things through Christ. Don't put artificial caps on your life and limit what God can do with you. That will be your fault, not His. So we looked at these various things very quickly, like a snapshot. And then I wanted to just review a little bit from what we learned last time in Hebrews chapter 11 about the parents of Moses. Verse 23 of chapter 11, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents." Why? Because they saw he was a designated child. He was a gift from God for a purpose. Do you see your children and your grandchildren as gifts of God for a designated ones? He had survived. Up to that point, he had survived the death threats against him. And they saw God's hand in all of that. This child, that is what is so wrong about abortion. It is the gall of humanity to tell God, "That's not life. We don't have to have it." Robert Kennedy Jr. came out yesterday and announced, and of course he backpedaled a little bit. He said he didn't understand the question, but he said that he thought abortion ought to be legal up through at the moment of birth. I got to hold a grandbaby at the hospital. Little precious little baby girl, holding her in my arm, little tiny thing. And that is a gift of God. That child is a gift of God. And to think that people say, "Oh, it's okay. We'll let the baby be birthed," as the former governor of Virginia said. "We'll let the little baby be birthed, and we'll put him on a counter. We'll let the parents decide, or the mother decide, whether she wants to keep him or not. And then we'll abort if we need to." That is paganism at its highest, because it assumes the power and right and authority of God. That's horrendous. And Moses survived that attack that came, and the parents recognized that this was a designated child, that this child was here on purpose. By the way, all of their children were. All their children were. God had a purpose, because some of the same children that survived and lived along with Moses would walk into the wilderness with him. These same people that were the same age as he, they were born during the same time. God had purposes for them to populate Egypt and then to walk out and to follow Moses into the wilderness and then on to the border of the promised land. By faith, they hid him for 3 months. By faith, they saw that he was a proper child. And by faith, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. That's how the Greek reads. By faith is that phrase, prepositional phrase, which applies for all the clauses that follow after. All right? By faith, when he was born, they hid him. By faith, the parents saw that he was a proper child, a designated child. By faith, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Notice this little track that I have here. They overcame, first of all, what? The fear of Pharaoh. There are a lot of people that live in fear of governments, of leaders, and they cower in fear. But let's put it on a personal level. There are a lot of people that live in fear of their peers, what they're going to think. You know, what if I have to say something because of a discipline situation? What if I have to say something to this particular, and it gets back to the parents? Oh, that would be horrible, because this parent has money. We had this discussion this past week where the administrator of the school said, some of the hardest decisions in my life are I've been having to put out people who are wealthy and were supporting our school, but because they had violated in such a degree the discipline policies, we had to put them out. And they left angry and mad. And everyone said, well, that's the end of the school, but God had other plans. He sustained. Folks, this is real. We can do what's right and honor God, and God will bless in spite of all the things. This couple, Jochebed and Amram, were not afraid of Pharaoh. Now, did just this personal pride well up within? We're not going to do what he says. No, it wasn't that at all. It was faith in God that empowered them, said, that's not right. The killing of our child would be wrong. We're going to hide our child. We're going to look to the Lord to show us what to do with this boy because he's a gift from God. They were not afraid of the Pharaoh. This is where we're going to be tested, saints, right here. Are we going to make choices and decisions in the future out of fear of the government? Out of fear of what might happen to us? Or are we just going to trust the Lord and rely on Him? I don't mean act like fools. I don't mean to do foolish things to cause the government to come down upon us. But what I'm talking about is being wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's exactly what they did. They didn't make a big row. They didn't put out signs outside their house and say, we're going against Pharaoh. We hate Pharaoh. No, that's not what they did. They hid their child for 3 months. They did not allow the fear of Pharaoh to keep them from preserving their child. And we may be called upon. You can say, oh, that'll never happen in the United States of America. That'll never happen in the United States of America. We're seeing things that have happened in the United States of America that'll make your hair curl on its own. And I don't have naturally curly hair. We're watching things happen, folks, in our world that we thought would never happen, but it's happening. So what do we do? Act in fear? Clutch ourselves in fear? What are we going to do? How are we going to get through this? No, we still have the same God. Amen. We still have the same Christ. We still have the same Holy Spirit. We just have to trust Him more in those times. They trusted in God's protection for the preservation of their child. That's an act of faith, to trust the Lord to protect and to watch over. Number three, the selection of the place where Moses was placed after he could no longer be hidden is remarkable to me. They made a little basket of reeds and pitched it. They sealed it all up and they put that 3-month-old baby boy in that, put a lid on it, and stuck it out there in the river. Here it is, Mother's Day. I would imagine that not one mother in this room said, yeah, I'd do that. I'll take it down there to Carpenter's Park and put my baby out there and push it out there. Can you imagine the immediate emotional thing? Most mothers would be broken down crying before they ever got out of the car with their basket. Do I hear an amen? It would be horrible. And yet that's what they did. This is remarkable. They knew they could not hide this child any longer. And so they said, let's take take it down. She probably knew that the palace people bathed in that area. And perhaps she overlooked the idea that crocodiles were in that river. And she just trusted God, Lord, would you just be the navigational sail and direct this child where he needs to go, where he'll be preserved. I don't know all the choices and the decisions there, but evidently it was God's will, because the queen, the princess, found him. And there comes along Miriam, and she just arrives at the right time, says, do you want me to find a nurse for the child? Yeah, I know someone that would be just perfect for that role. Yeah, her mom. That whole story is just remarkable to me, of the transactions and actions that are played out here. And you just, like, you sit back with your eyes, like googly eyes. What just happened? Yeah, that's what God does sometimes. And through this whole thing, a life is spared. The boy grows up in the palace, but after the mama has time to wean him. After the mama has time to teach him and to train him and to put into his heart things that he wouldn't have gotten in the palace. I want you to know, folks, parents, grandparents, a lot can be taught in 4 years, 5 years. A lot can be taught. And when we center ourselves just on play in the first 5 years rather than teaching God's Word and instructing in God's Word and telling them how much the Lord loves them and letting them know that God sent His Son, only begotten Son, to die for them, you can teach a lot in just a handful of years. Because we're going to learn something about Moses and these six wise choices. We're going to learn that he came to the right conclusions. And yet he had been away from home for a long time. Now, the faith of Jochebed is singled out while both parents are spoken of. The Bible says she hid the child. This mama was a brave mama. Okay? What do they call them? Mama bears? Or tiger mamas or whatever it is. Soccer moms. That's another name. Don't mess with a soccer mom. But she had something to her, and she hid her child. She comforted her child to keep him quiet, that he could make it through that time without drawing attention to the family that would cause them to snatch that baby and kill him. And then finally, in Acts chapter 7 and verse 20, this is so interesting to me. And by the way, Moses' name is mentioned throughout the Old Testament. And into the New Testament, Acts chapter 7, in the testimony of Stephen. You know, the one that got martyred for his faith in Jesus Christ? He refers to, of all things, Moses' father, who is mentioned by Stephen about his faith that was exercised in the upbringing of Moses, for it was Moses that would lead the children of Israel out. So this is an interesting connection of the parents first that are mentioned in Hebrews 11. The parents are first mentioned. And what are they honored for? It's okay to say it out loud. Their what? Faith. Their faith. The evidence of things not seen. All right? The evidence of things not seen. What a glorious picture we have here. Well, we're going to move on to the first one here. I want you to see, first of all, in our study in chapter 11, the first of these six wise choices is this. Moses chose to refuse Egyptian identity. He refused the identity that he had been given as a young boy, growing up in that palace, receiving the education that the Pharaoh's children received. Receiving all the things that Pharaoh's children received during that time. The Bible says, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, she had been kind to him. She had saved his life. She had given him life, basically. He was the exception to the law that said that all the Hebrew males were to be killed 2 years old and younger. And yet she put herself in that place, and that child was steered away from that death. So this lady has done something wonderful, yet Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He knew who his real mom was. He knew what his real identity was. How many of you have heard at least three times this week the word identity? Anybody in the news? Where do we most hear it? Gender identity. All right? And we hear all these other things. Don't let anybody steal your identity. How many times do you see commercials for that? You want to make sure that you check on your mortgage. You don't want anybody to steal your identity and then be able to steal what you own and possess. So that word comes up often. Here was an identity that Moses set aside as Pharaoh's daughter, and he said, I am a child of the Hebrews. I am a child of the Hebrews. Moses was born a Jew, the son of Amram and Jochebed. However, Moses was raised in an alternative site. When Moses was old enough to choose who he wanted to be, he chose not to identify with the Egyptians, but rather with the Israelites. This would not have been an easy decision. He was raised in a palace, first of all. Slavehood, being in a palace. Most people, humanly speaking, would pick what? Palace. All day long, every day. I want the palace. But not Moses. I'll keep with my slave identity. Not only that, he was raised with riches, rank, reputation of the highest order. We know he served in the Egyptian military. He had positions there. It would have been an easy choice to stay with safety, security, and substance. By the way, that's what the culture always puts out first. You need to be safe. You need to be secure. You need to have substance. Aren't all three of those found in Jesus Christ? They're found in Jesus Christ. And what has Jesus Christ said about all the cultural things in this world, about safety and security and substance? All those things are going to pass away. Moth and rust will corrupt them. There was a gentleman that went to a garage sale, and he found a Civil War pistol that had been in an attic. It belonged to a great-great-grandfather of someone, and they had an estate sale, and he went to that sale, and he got this Civil War pistol, and he said, I couldn't wait to go try it. And so he got read up on it, how to do it, and he ended up going to the hospital because this one was an old gunpowder-fired thing where you had the flintlock. It was the early Civil War. And he put too much powder in there, and whenever he hit it, it exploded and went up into his face. His face was peppered with black spots from all the stuff. And he said, I put that down as quickly as I could, rushed to the hospital, and then I said, you know what, I don't think I'm going to fire this gun. Little did he know that the barrel was clogged. And so all that stuff came back up into his face because he wasn't familiar with the gun, first of all. He didn't do enough study on it. And in his excitement about what he had found and what he had gotten, he overlooked safety. And he paid for it. There's a lot of things in this world that promises safety, and it doesn't deliver. It doesn't deliver. Oh, you'll be secure. Buy gold. The most securest purchase is buying gold. I've seen so many gold commercials that I think I'm turning gold. You know, they have all these actors, was it to William Devine or something like that, that's on there, and he talks about, I buy gold in this insecure market with so many trillions of dollars in debt, I buy gold. And he has a little bit in his hand, and he does that, and people go over there and say, what's that number, honey? All right. Yeah, but you know what? Gold can be stolen. Gold can be stolen. And by the way, when you die, you can't take it with you. There's just a lot of things about culture's idea of security and substance and, safety that just come up lacking. But if in Jesus Christ, you have all of that. And Moses identified, as we're going to learn here, with Christ. He identified with Christ. So, he chose to refuse Egyptian identity. That, I think, is probably one of the greatest indications of Moses' maturity at this particular time. Now, he had acted rashly in killing that Egyptian. The Egyptian was mistreating the Jewish people. He went over there and he killed him. And which indicates that Moses was no softy. He took care of business, but it wasn't the right thing to do. And it cost him. He had to flee for his life because he was being hunted as a fugitive because he had acted irrationally. But in many ways, he was very mature. He understood that he was an Israelite. And because of that, God had a purpose for him. Let's go to the second one here that I think is very, very telling about the life of Moses. Moses chose the rigors of righteousness. Would you look with me, please? Look down here at we'll start at verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather, this was his choice, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The rigors of righteousness. There were many pleasures within the palace of the Egyptians. I don't have time to share with you. I have a book at home that goes over the Egyptian culture of this particular time and goes into detail what palace life would have been. And it was horrible when it came to moral behavior. It was extremely immoral. And Moses was exposed to that, but he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That choice that was made put him in good stead. But it was a choice made by faith. Made by faith. I think it's important, folks, to realize that when we get saved, we still have faith choices to make. Do I hear an amen? There are many. There are literally going to be thousands of faith choices that you make in your lifetime. Now, what kind of choices are we making? Why do we do what we do? What motivates us? Is it the honor and glory of Christ? Or is it to keep up with the world or to keep up with the culture of the moment? That's not a faith choice. That's a flesh choice. A faith choice looks at all the potential consequences of a choice. We don't live in that kind of a time anymore where people just stopped and said, "No, wait a minute, think about what you're going to do here. You're going to create a situation that's going to require this, 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 and this." Do we want to go down that road and have to deal with all of those things, or can we just simply stay on the straight and narrow? Choosing wisely is one of the great challenges of the church today. Choosing wisely. God has told us that we are to choose wisely. The whole book of Proverbs, you read the Psalms, there's incredible encouragements there to make wise choices. For the young man not to be involved with a woman of ill repute. The Bible goes into great detail in those early chapters of the book of Proverbs to encourage young men about wise choices so they don't make the wrong ones. The same thing is true for ladies and girls, making the right choices. And Moses, when he became of age, chose rather. He had all of this before him, all the wealth and all the goodies that come with being in the palace, but he turned and he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. For how long? Just for a season. Now the Lord is making a very clear statement here. Moses could have chosen the pleasures of the palace, but the pleasures of the palace, the Lord makes very clear, was just for a season. Those don't last very long. But choosing to suffer the afflictions of God would have eternal ramifications, something that was not just simply temporal. The Bible indicates very clearly that if we suffer persecution, we shall also reign with Him. That's a promise you don't find associated with the pleasures of this world. You don't find anything eternal that's linked to that. But you do find the eternal link to the aspect of suffering affliction. Notice, for a season, that period of time. I just turned 60 this year, and I was talking to the pastor there at Gunnery Road, the church that they have there, and he was in school with me at Bob Jones University, Terry Vance. He was a senior my junior year, and then he stayed on for the next 2 years to work on his master's degree. And so we were in preacher boys class together, and we did lots of things in the same thing. And I remember he was tall, and he always sat in the back there because his name was Vance. I was Brainerd, so I was always stuck up in the front. And that was a good thing because I didn't have good eyesight at that time, and I ended up getting, after my first year at BJ, I realized I was blind as a bat and ended up with glasses. And then I got diabetes, and my vision improved. So maybe I should have gotten diabetes when I was younger or something, but I don't have to have glasses anymore. I passed my driver's license test without glasses. And they were shocked. "Mr. Brainerd, how can this be? You had trifocals." I said, "I don't know. I got diabetes type 1 and my eyes improved and now I can read, I can see distance. I don't have those problems anymore." So that was one blessing that came out of diabetes. I got my eyesight cleared up. That has nothing to do with our study. So we're gonna pull it back here, and we're going to focus on these last thoughts here. Moses was a prince in Egypt. That was an actual title. He was a prince in Egypt and could have indulged in all the lusts and luxuries that the world had to offer, but instead, he chose to identify and suffer with the afflictions of the Hebrew people who were toiling in cruel bondage to the Egyptians. He chose the persecution of the saints instead of the pleasures of sin. By faith in his God, Moses wisely chose to do what was right. By the way, 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcomes the world. What is the thing that overcomes the world? Faith. We sing that hymn, which is based on 1 John 5 and verse 4. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So what is the indication when someone is overcome by the world? There's no faith, or very little faith. The Bible says if we have little faith, we could move mountains. The picture is here that Moses, at this time in his life, as a young man, exercised faith in his choosing. That's the challenge that we have as a church with our children and our young people, to challenge them to exercise faith in the Word of God and in Jesus Christ, who is the Word written, and to grow up and make wise choices. I think too much of our time, sadly, in many places, I'm not saying all churches, but there are many churches that spend all their time entertaining their young people and having that. And there's nothing wrong with having fun and so forth like that, but there's also the challenge to make wise choices. And wise choices are only made by faith. And the reason for that is this. You have to have faith in God who says what's right and what's wrong. You have to have faith in God, who is the authority that indicates the direction that we ought to go. And when we exercise faith, we say, Lord, I know you're leading me in the right direction, and that's the direction I want to go. I want to go wherever you want to lead me. I want to encourage you, folks, and we're going to pick up with some more of these, Lord willing, next week. But Moses was not just a happenstance. He's the reality of anybody that exercises faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm here to say today that Moses was what he was because he had a mama that hid him for 3 months. He had a mama that taught him during those weaning years, that put into him a faith in God. And a father, who's mentioned by Stephen, who was involved in his son's life in just those formative few years that they had him before they had to turn him over to the Egyptian princess. They did what they could to put in that young boy's heart a love for God and a love for the people of God. And what a striking example he is in the Scriptures. And there are many more like him. All you have to do is read the rest of Hebrews chapter 11, and you'll see all the different individuals that impacted this world because of their faith in Christ. And we're going to focus on that next time. He esteemed the riches of Christ greater than the riches of this world. Now, how in the world does an Old Testament character esteem the riches of Christ? Well, we're going to talk about that. The Bible didn't make a mistake there. This man was connected with Christ in the Old Testament. Father in heaven, I pray that you do a work in our hearts today. Lord, there are so many distractions in this world. The siren sounds of the culture are always sounding. Come play with me. Let's go do this. Let's have some fun. And a lot of the things that are out there that's labeled fun are things that can destroy lives. I pray that you would help us to know that Moses was able to choose wisely by faith in the Word of God the direction that he ought to go. Oh, he made mistakes. He made some doozies, like us. But I pray that you'd help us to understand and know that you're there to comfort and to help and to encourage and to lift us up when we fall. And we thank you, Father, for that blessing that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you for the life of Moses. We thank you for his testimony, dear Father, and may we learn much from it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.